Welcome to Sonic Forge, a podcast about songwriting from Zephyr Hills Alliance Church. The love of God is probably the deepest topic we can explore in song. Ephesians 3 tells us to probe the love of God, to let our roots dig deep into it. And though it is ultimately unfathomable, we ought to plumb the depths as far as we can and experience this love for ourselves. The song, If That Isn't Love, by Ted O'Farrell, is a meditation on both the abstraction of divine love and its concrete expressions in and through the life of Jesus. And the more we ponder it, the greater its ability to affect us. Well, today on the show, we're going to interview Ted O'Farrell about his new song, If That Isn't Love.
Yeah.
Jazzy.
Tune. We're excited about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell me something about what prompted you to write the song.
Well, just probably out of my devotional time with the Lord, I was just thinking about just all that Christ did for us. Mm. And, you know, what was his glory like before he left heaven to come and, you know, become a baby born in Bethlehem, etc., and then grow in wisdom and favor with God and man, and then, you know, became that adult and revealed himself as the Messiah, that he is the way, the truth, and life. So what that just kind of, that sacrifice, and Philippians talks about that, he became lower than a servant for us, and just that he did it out of a motivation of love. So what would a song like that look like? And, you know, I've always been a lover of jazz, so that kind of just inspired, well, I'll come up with a little jazz tune, a little sure. jazz riff.
And what are some of your influences in that regard, musically?
Oh, musically with jazz, well, sort of more popish jazz. You know, George Benson, think of guitarists. Mm. George Benson and his improvisation, the way that he improvises mm-hmm. on the guitar. And he always sings his notes. Huh. You know, that was big, his playing. My first classical guitar teacher that I studied with in New York, well, not my first classical guitar, second classical guitar teacher, Mr. Stanley Solo. He was a big jazz guy before he discovered classical guitar. Mm. So he would do classical guitar arrangements, but more in a jazz style.
Okay.
In that finger style. And so that was kind of cool. Mm. So, you know, there's great guitarists out there in the jazz world. You know, Pat Metheny, he's more jazz fusion, not that. You know, Joe Pass, you think of him as a guitarist. He's got more of that swing style uh-huh. kind of thing. Yeah. And then early on I was taught jazz as I studied in Jacksonville. Wonderful teacher, Michael Bennick, who's mm-hmm. still playing. So
cool.
That kind of influenced. So thinking about all that, the jazz tunes.
Yeah, musically. Yeah. So then how would you describe kind of the riff then? I mean, it's a jazzy riff, but it's kind of a walk down in the chorus, more or less. But what's like the chord progression you're using, or the?
Yeah, it's very popular. You know, it's in the key of C. So, you know, you were starting off with the minor two, mm-hmm. which, you know, so it'd be a, you know, D minor, and then we're going to the 5-7 or a derivative of that, which is like G7, uh-huh. and then that resolves to the tonic, the C, mm-hmm. Or C major 7. I'm a sucker for sevenths.
Sure.
I love seventh chords or ninth chords. Mm-hmm. And then that does a walk down to the A minor, mm-hmm. which I make it an A minor ninth, because it gives that little tension, that rub there. Mm-hmm. And then that resolves back again, going back to the two with that D minor and back to G7. That's primarily the riff, mm-hmm. The chord progression. And it's very popular in a lot of music, popular jazz or easy listening jazz kind of style.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
and cool. It's up and bouncy and supposed to be positive. But it is a big message, you know. How great is God's love?
Hmm. Yeah, a lot of times you add those sevenths or ninths, like you said, it introduces a tension. But it's not going like a dark minor. It's sort right. of it's like an intriguing minor.
Yes.
And I think a lot of jazz, or like easy listening jazz, like you said, sounds like that. You want it to feel comfortable. I mean, that's why they call it easy listening.
Yeah, it calls it easy listening.
Right?
Yeah,
it's supposed to sound like it's right. like a cushion, you know, like yep. you're landing in somewhere that's comfortable. But it's not quite the same as like a pop progression that is so common that you can just like hear it coming, you know, a mile away.
Yeah,
the jazz it's similar to that, right? But because it's not a fully like just major chords, there's something more interesting about it,
yeah.
and then like layered about it. But it's still actually really comfortable to listen to, you know, and I definitely feel that in the chorus, you know, that it's going back and forth between those chords, but, you can feel it resolve and you can sort of anticipate the resolve.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that it's easy to listen to or comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. The easy listening part is, you know, it's supposed to be laid back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Laid back. Oh, this is nice. You know,
right.
And there's a sense of, even though there's that tension, there's a sense of calmness in it. But mm-hmm. that tension is there to create maybe that listening ear mm-hmm. little bit more of candy, sweet candy coming. Oh, well, listen to this, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that seventh or that ninth, that note, it'll be one note that's, it's not off, it's just outside of the major.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it does, it pricks your ear to hear like, oh, okay, what, something interesting is happening.
Yeah.
People, you're not really noticing that because you're not like analyzing it musically.
Right.
But as it's happening, that's something that's happening in your ear. Yeah.
Yeah, it catches your ear and says, oh, okay, here's something. But then I want to come back to that primary first verse again because the, you know, we think of scripture and there's that beautiful passage that, Paul speaks about and, my good friend preached on it, you know, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, you mm-hmm. know, that kind of breadth. Well, I want to come back to that. So I kind of close the song off of that. But when I think about God's love, immediately, you know, you think about passages of Scripture, it moves me to what the chorus is.
Mm-hmm.
And the chorus
right,
is
which is from 1 Corinthians 13.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a beautiful description of God's love.
That's really cool. I think, you know, we read 1 Corinthians 13 at weddings a lot, or we use it to sort of describe what love is. And I think more often than not, it's sort of a roadmap for us. Like, how do we love?
How do
well,
we love?
Should, we should love by being patient. We should love by being kind. But your chorus is saying, your love is patient. Your love is kind. So it's taking the Paul's words about what love is and very intentionally ascribing them to God and God's love. Your love rejoices in the truth.
Yes.
Your love never lies. Your love is eternal and never fails. I think that's a really important connection, you know, to be made in the song that this passage of love that Paul is writing about is describing God. You know,
it is.
It's not just some notes for us and a checklist for us and a description for how we should love. It's
right.
a description of love itself, which is God.
So. Yeah, and just a little side note, one of the things I tried to do is, you know, we in the chorus, middle chorus, it says, your love never lies, you mm-hmm. know. That just is a kind of a feed off of God's love. He is always faithful, but he's always true.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sing the chorus four times, mm-hmm. but I sing the word never the first time, one time. And then every time I do the chorus, I sing, second time I do never, never.
Right.
And then the third time I repeat it three times. And the fourth time I squeeze four
yes.
in there just to emphasize
mm-hmm.
The beauty of God's love, that it is, his love is true
mm-hmm.
and faithful. And, you know, you think about it, when the end of 1 Corinthians 13 ends, it says the greatest, you know, we have faith and we have hope, but the greatest of these is love.
Yeah.
You know, how does that translate or apply? Well, it means that God's love will always be eternal. It's always going to be here. It will still remain.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's
which
really
is
cool.
A beautiful foundation
yeah.
to rest on and rest in.
Yeah, and I think it really grounds it in the fact that we're talking about God, like we said, and not human love.
Yeah.
And so you already mentioned you start with verse 1 and you end with verse 1, talking about basically what Jesus left behind, the big picture, right?
Yeah.
So what he left mm-hmm. behind and took our place on the cross. You start and end with that. Your second verse is kind of about his ministry.
Yeah.
He made the lame to walk.
Yeah.
Made the blind to see, which these are, it's important to note, results of God's love for us, right? So he didn't just come and die on a cross and erase sin. He came and healed people, which is a demonstration of his love, that a demonstration that he cared about, and what he was about was restoring what had been broken. You know, that's what healing is, raise the dead to life. And then you make the connection. So from Jesus's ministry, those three lines, made the lame to walk, made the blind to see, raise the dead to life, and you rescued me. So now it's jumping from Jesus's ministry 2,000 years ago to what it means to you, you know, the singer, and you rescued me, freed me from slavery, and now call me friend.
Yeah.
So it's focused in on what he's done for us and also our relationship to him, you know, that we're friends.
Yeah. Restored relationship. And, you know, when Jesus was on earth, he cared about people. He knew what troubled them. He knew what grieved them. He recognized the sickness. He reached out to the lepers and the blind. He was amazing in that way. And then, you know, when you understand what the crucifixion and the resurrection and all that means. Jesus took upon himself all of our sins, past, present, and future. You know, he rescued us from that slavery of sin and freed us from death so we can have life everlasting with him. And he does, he says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends, friend. And, you know, so the question comes, man, if that isn't love, I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. You know, but that is love. That's God's love being expressed through Christ. And we can know him in that fullness.
Yeah.
And that's just wonderful.
And I really like that about your lyrics, because your love is patient, your love is kind are sort of abstractions, you know? They're because it's poetic, it's not like a specific necessarily thing. I mean, the word patient is specific and you can conjure specific images, but love is patient, love is kind, rejoices in the truth is pretty abstract. And then you have this concrete things that Jesus did, right? And so, and it's related, this idea of love is both sort of a big abstraction, the word love, man, what all can that mean? Well, we could write a million songs about it. So I like that it's both sort of the abstract and then the concrete
mm-hmm.
of these healings and the things that Jesus did. And that's what the song's about. The song's about love, if that isn't love. So we're describing love in both, through scripture, the abstract and concrete. And I think that can be a really powerful way to meditate on the love of God.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So we're getting ready to listen to the produced version, which is different from your just the acoustic. What changes did you make? And you can talk about some, you know, you sang harmonies on it and played some different instruments.
Yeah.
Right? So what all did you, tell me about the process of recording and all of that.
Yeah. Usually when I come up with a song, you know, I'll throw my iPhone on record if I've got something cooking, you know, this might turn into something. So I just record it so I don't lose it.
Yeah.
And that, and then I take it and, you know, sometimes it has to sit for a little bit, or sometimes I just go right into trying to, okay, let's see what we can do. So my method has been trying to come up with a steady rhythm, beat, drum, percussion, that kind of stuff first, and then I get the chords so they can match kind of. So I usually will lay down a rhythm section like the guitars, and then I usually immediately go to some kind of keyboards mm-hmm. or piano.
So what did you play on this one? Was it just like a piano?
Yeah, I did a mm-hmm. piano. I'm trying to think exactly what sound I was going for. So then I laid down the piano part and added that. And then I laid down a bass part mm-hmm. And then had that down. And then, we had to work on the vocal a little bit. And I wanted to be light a little bit. So, you know, then you're messing as a producer. You're not messing with the vocal. You're trying to improve the vocal so it'll capture the listener's ear. And so as you're recording the vocal, you know, I want to sing in tune.
Of course.
So that's always difficult. So we're trying very hard to sing in tune, but sometimes you have to redo the vocal and that kind of thing. And I came up with, you know, an echo part. Mm-hmm. So to add that in the background, you know, instead of just singing a harmony part with it, but we tried that as well, just to capture the listener's ear. Mm. And, you know, trying to add a little bit of guitar flavor, soloing electric-wise. And so it was a lot of fun to put together and to play. You play it enough, it's memorable, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it does stick in your head a little bit, which is good because, you know, we want scripture. One of the best ways to learn scripture is to make it a melody or sing it and sing it over and over again, and it just kind of just glues into your mind.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so you can recite it. So,
Is your song posted anywhere? Where can we listen to it?
I don't have it posted up yet, but it will be on, I will probably be putting it up on Bandcamp and on my website, teddyofarrell.com.
All right, so we can find it there.
Yeah, we'll find it there.
Listen to it.
Go. Yeah, listen.
Awesome.
Sign up. Listen.
Your home in glory, all the riches of heaven above to tell redemption story. You took my place upon the cross. If that isn't love, I don't know what is. Your love is patient. Your love is kind. Your love rejoices in the truth. Your love never lies. Your love is eternal. Your love never fails. When all is said and done, your love will still be. Raised the dead to life, and you rescued me. You freed me from my sin. You now call me your friend. If that isn't love, I don't know what is. Your love is patient. Your love is kind. Rejoices in the truth. Your love never, never lies. Your love is eternal. Your love never fails. When all is said and done, your love will still be.
You can find more of Ted's music at teddyofarrell.com or teddyofarrell.bandcamp.com. Sonic Forge is a podcast series from Zephyr Hills Alliance Church. To learn more about our church, find us on Facebook or on our website, zaccma.org.